just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
My thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We are season 7. This is episode 37 being recorded on the Monday morning after week 5, Thursday and Sunday games. And within the last hour, there suddenly is a future for Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore as they have been alleviated from dealing with Matt Rhule. Also, a shout out to Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group for their support of my podcast. Remember, this is the fantasy podcast. If you'd like non-fantasy content, the Todd Wright Toddcast is available separately to this one. And every week, Brandon Legal Group sponsors the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin spinoff, which is a weekly game preview only from a fantasy standpoint of the Bucks and their opponent that particular week. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. If you heard great things about my latest golf tournament, Todd Wright Tour 38 was played Saturday at Plantation Palms Golf Club. Thank you, Jesse Pratt, for hosting another very successful Todd Wright Tour golf tournament at Plantation Palms. We'd love to have you at a future golf tournament. You can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com for information there. toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Todd Wright Tour 39, the golf tournament and holiday spectacular, a fine annual event that is not fun for the whole family, will be held at West Chase Golf Club on December the 10th. For golf info, email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. This specific fantasy podcast early in the week is an I told you so. That's what it is. And if I can be so blunt, it's an I told you so with a fuck you. Let's talk about tight ends in fantasy football. Yeah. We're going to have that conversation today. I told you. It's an I told you so with a side of fuck you. For a decade now, I have eliminated the mandatory tight end from all of my leagues. A decade. Instead of a mandatory tight end that you must start every week, I have been using a wide receiver / tight end flex in that spot. As I have said to you hundreds of times on this podcast over 7 years now, there are many legitimate reasons for doing that. First, it maintains the value of good to great tight ends, like Kelsey, like Andrews, in recent years, like a healthy George Kittle, an unretired healthy Rob Gronkowski. And there are a few other examples. But the problem that I recognized a decade ago was that there weren't enough players who produced consistently at their traditional tight end position in the NFL to merit that continuing to be a mandatory starting position in my leagues. Let's say you're in a 12-team league. I'd say roughly anywhere from 40 to 75% of fantasy leagues are a 12-team league. I've always been able to identify 12 worthy quarterbacks. 12 worthy running backs, RB1s. 12 worthy RB2s. 12 worthy wide receiver 1s. 12 worthy wide receiver 2s. 12 worthy kickers. I've run the numbers for those of you who say, no, the kicker. I've done it. The numbers back me, not you. If you've eliminated the kicker and not the mandatory tight end, the numbers don't back you up. At the end of the year, kickers produce more points than traditional tight ends. You did the wrong thing. There haven't been 12 worthy tight end starters in the NFL for a decade. I often say all you want out of every starter in your lineup is it's double-digit points. Now, you sure as hell want more than that out of your quarterback. You sure as hell want more than that out of your RB1. I get that. But in my leagues, for example, we have 7 starters. 1 QB, 2 RBs, 2 wide receivers, a wide receiver tight end flex, that's 6, and 1 kicker, that's 7. If they all score double digits, the minimum you score that week is 70. That gives you a chance to win every week. And there's going to be some balance out, right? Someone's going to score 20. That might offset the 0 someone gives you if they get hurt. I've been running these same numbers for years. I not only talk about them with you, this is how I compete in my leagues. And I speak to you as the defending champion of my podcast league and the recipient of the $1,000 check from Bill Curry Ford that went with it. In my foundation league, in the 7 years prior to this year we've played, I finished with the best regular season in 3 of the 7 years. I eliminated the mandatory tight end a decade ago. Not only has nothing changed my mind, every year there are fewer and fewer arguments for those that don't make the change, that are still playing fantasy football from another era and are resistant when they set up scoring settings. We're talking to you, commissioners, to click the box wide receiver tight end flex and unclick the box for mandatory tight end. I know a really good, smart guy who's fun to play golf with, who works at The Athletic. And I reached out to him recently, and I asked him about Michael Salfino. The bio on Michael Salfino at The Athletic says he writes about fantasy sports. His numbers-driven fantasy analysis began with a nationally syndicated newspaper column in 2004. He covers a variety of sports for 538 in the Wall Street Journal, for whom he also writes about movies. This is a smart guy. That bio, I can't question it. He's a smart guy. Last week, here was the headline on one of his articles in The Athletic covering fantasy football. Surviving tight end, navigating fantasy football's toughest position for the rest of the season. Now, let me go a step further, because I hope Michael appreciates I have his back here. Just because Michael wrote this piece doesn't mean he wrote the damn headline. I write my own headlines here on these podcasts. just like I control 100% of the content. In Michael's business, that's not always the case. He may have say over the headline, probably not. There are editors to do that shit. Surviving tight end navigating fantasy football's toughest position for the rest of the season. First paragraph from Mr. Salfino. Surviving tight end this year is tough, and especially tough for some who invested heavily in the position. That was the first sentence of the article. The numbers he uses in there, I don't question the numbers. I understand some, I use some, I don't understand others, and I don't use other numbers. I'm not questioning what he used. What I question is, why you didn't just drop the mandatory tight end years ago? Like I did. You want to survive fantasy football's toughest position? Drop the mandatory tight end. Cut the fucking cord. How many times do I have to tell you this? You're not devaluing when Travis Kelce plays, or Mark Andrews plays, or a healthy George Kittle when he's productive. If you click the wide receiver slash tight end flex box, they play in that spot. And that eliminates all these other tight ends that are driving you crazy because they're touchdown dependent and they don't come close to producing double-digit points for you every week. I keep hearing about Kyle Pitts this year. There's even more there. Kyle Pitts couldn't score last year. What do I say about players from the University of Florida the last 10 or 11 years? Four Pro Bowlers. Since Pouncey retired, since Pouncey was drafted, and Pouncey retired, there's been about 65 Florida Gators drafted in the NFL draft. Four have made the Pro Bowl. Pitts made it last year. That also speaks to how bad the position is. Yeah, I know about the yardage. I wasn't buying it this year. How's that working out for you? I'll tell you how it's working out in my leagues. The guy was already traded once, and the guy who acquired him in a multiplayer trade couldn't give him away to me and other owners and just cut him. Drafted him in the fourth or fifth round. Wide receiver, tight end, flex, Kyle Pitts. Thanks for playing. I've been surviving fantasy football's toughest position for a decade now. How? I eliminated the mandatory tight end. And I've been telling all of you, if you're a commissioner, do it. Don't even take a freaking vote. Run your league the way you know it should be run. I've been telling you owners, if you play in a mandatory tight end league, convince your commissioner to change it to a wide receiver tight end flex, or get a new commissioner, or play in another league that eliminates the mandatory tight end. Play modern fantasy football that reflects what's going on in the NFL right now. So let's just talk about the side of fuck you that goes with this I told you so. As I record this for you on Monday morning, within an hour of Matt Rule cashing my ticket as the first head coach fired in the National Football League this season. In my scoring settings, here are the top pass catchers. It's a term even Matthew Berry uses for wide receivers and tight ends. Now, this is before the Monday night game is played between the Chiefs and the Raiders. Number one is Cooper Kupp. As bad as the Rams are, Cooper Kupp is right where he left off. Number one. Stephon Diggs is number two. What do I consistently say about Diggs and Mike Evans? The quietest wide receiver ones in fantasy football. Justin Jefferson is three. Tyreek Hill is four. As we owners of Tyreek Hill worry about the quad and who's going to be throwing him the ball on a week-to-week basis. Jaylen Waddle is five. Hollywood Brown is six. We'll talk more about that in a future fantasy podcast. Mark Andrews, who finished in my scoring settings last year as the number six pass catcher, because I evaluate his position against wide receiver positions, and there he is at seven off the Ravens' Sunday night victory over the Bengals. So that plays out. We're not eliminating Mark Andrews from fantasy football by eliminating the mandatory tight end. We're not doing that. He has a place to play in the lineup. You want to play Mark Andrews, and you can. My fuck you is Taysom Hill. I didn't draft him, but we got about 2 weeks into the season, and then Jameis threw away that Saints game against the Bucks. Buck homers say, oh, Mike Evans fired up the team by coming off the sideline and blasting Marshawn Lattimore to have Tom Brady's back. Bullshit. All that did was cost the Bucks the game against the Packers the next week because Evans was predictably suspended for one game. Jameis Winston threw that game away after Evans was ejected. Same old Jameis. And he wasn't healthy. Multiple issues in his back. And I was just thinking to myself, at some point, he's not going to be able to go out there. I know they have Andy Dalton. And even though Sean Payton isn't there, they know what they've got in Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is not a traditional quarterback. And then I thought, but Alvin Kamara hasn't been producing between the tackles, and he's not even healthy now. So I found Taysom Hill on waivers. And I play in Yahoo leagues, and I know Yahoo isn't the only one who does Taysom Hill this way. And Taysom Hill's listed as QB, comma, tight end. Click, add to cart. And I waited until week four. And I looked at the Vikings rush defense. And I looked at Andy Dalton starting at quarterback. And no Kamara. And I thought to myself, Taysom Hill is going to get some snaps in this game. Direct snaps. And he's going to run the ball. And sure enough, he scored me a touchdown in that London game against the Vikings. Didn't get me double-digit points, but I thought he might get me a touchdown, and he did. And then came week five. Still no Jameis. Kamara was back. Game in New Orleans. Seahawks, not much of a rushing defense, was going to be a high-scoring game, in my opinion. I still don't like Kamara in a traditional red zone between the tackle situation. It's still Andy Dalton. He has no legs. And I kept thinking, did I just get by one week with a hunch by playing Taysom Hill at tight end, which the Yahoo leagues and other leagues allow you to do? Did I get away with it? Should I take him out and put somebody else in there? And in the end, I just closed the laptop. And I said, nah. Let's let it ride. Do I need to remind you what Taysom Hill did yesterday in the Week 5 game against Seattle? In my scoring settings, he put up over 33 fantasy points. He scored 4 touchdowns. He ran for 3. He threw for 1. He's listed as a tight end and a quarterback. He has caught 1 ball for 2 yards. For those of you who say, well, he shouldn't be a tight end, he doesn't catch passes. He caught 1 this year. He's on a pace this year in fantasy seasons to catch 3 balls for 6 yards. And currently, before Kelce plays on Monday night, Taysom Hill is tight end 2 in Yahoo leagues. 2. 1.5 points behind Mark Andrews. Is Taysom Hill a tight end? No. So me playing him the last 2 weeks and him scoring 5 touchdowns for me the last 2 weeks in 2 wins in my foundation league is my side of fuck you. It just fits my continuing argument against mandatory tight ends. But damn it, if Yahoo is going to let me play a guy who takes direct snaps and an athlete like Taysom Hill at tight end, you better believe I'm going to use him. Now, in our podcast league, someone owns him, didn't play him. I would imagine some of you own Taysom Hill. And I hope you played him. I don't know what he'll do next week. I'm not taking him out. I haven't looked ahead to the Week 6 matchup. But it sure worked out for me. And it just shows you, beyond Andrews and Kelce, what a joke the tight end position is for fantasy football purposes. I told you so. Don't forget this for next year. Stop wasting time with mandatory tight end. Your time is too valuable. Fantasy football is too much fun. You don't need articles by Michael Salfino with great info when I've given you the solution for the 7 years of this podcast. You survive fantasy football's toughest position by eliminating it as a mandatory starting position in your league settings. I'm done. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, with shout-outs to Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening.